Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Raheem Kassam joins the program to talk about the European elections. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. And Alina Haba recaps the Young Women's Leadership Summit. And become a member today at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk. Vivek Ramaswamy. Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
We are in the midst of the craziest 10 days in Turning Point history. Last week, we had President Trump at a town hall. And we also had Freedom Night in America. We also had our Young Women's Leadership Summit, the largest ever gathering of young conservative women. And it's just amazing. By the way, do we have a picture of YWLS? I'm sure we can get one up there. And joining us now is someone who went viral at that event. The media ignored it because, you know, they don't want to talk about nearly 2,500 young conservative women gathering together. Alina Haba joins us now. Alina, welcome to the program. Alina, what was your reaction to the Young Women's Leadership Summit?
I loved it. That was my first time you had me, and I was so honored. Honestly, what a beautiful production and a beautiful group of women. It's exactly what I personally needed, and I'm sure those girls did as well, just to be around conservative people with morals that want to hear good messaging and educate themselves on things and be able to interact and ask questions. I love that part. I love being able to answer all kinds of questions from the crowd. It was really fun.
So there was a clip here that went viral. I want to play it and get your walk us through it. Let's play cut 39.
My first home when I was born was across the street from a McDonald's. And my father used to take the money that he could have and got a Coke and a pack of peanuts every day so that we could survive. But he taught me about the American dream. And no matter how down and out he might have felt, he made sure every Sunday we went to church. We were not allowed to whimper. We were not allowed to fuss around. We didn't have iPads. And we had to get on our knees and we had to pray. But more importantly, watching him and watching my mom's support for him taught me about family values and taught me about work ethic, which I use now every day in a way that is unimaginable. These were my foundation, and they guided me through many challenges I faced as a young woman navigating a normal world prior to being President Trump's lawyer.
That is a beautiful thing. Why is that so controversial? Why did the media and the left-wingers come after you?
I don't know. Maybe normalizing me is a problem. You know, people have TDS, and I think to some extent, I'm an extension of that. I know that there were comments that were just beyond comprehension, trying to like break down, fact check me. I really can't be fact checked on my life. I'm happy to break it down further for everybody and all the nastiness. But no, my life is not perfect, was not perfect, but it was the way God meant it to be. And it led me down this path to be where I am now. And I'm really grateful. I've had a really wonderful life.
That's amazing. Well, thank you again for speaking at the Young Women's Leadership Summit. I can show some of the tweets here of people attacking you. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but what again is your reaction just to the gathering? And it shows that young ladies are not all on the left.
Look, the thing that people think is that young women or children in general, I think, are naive or will buy what the media is telling them, the left-wing radical media, or in many cases now we have liberal teachers indoctrinating our children. And the questions I was asked in particular, Charlie, were amazing. They were women of faith. They were great. And they were asking me how to achieve goals, how to overcome obstacles, and how to kind of tune out the noise. And it tells you that the children that we raise with morals, the ones that actually have great parenting like I did, will turn out just fine despite them trying to put boys in women's sports or try and tell them that it's okay to have a procedure without telling your parents. And it just, like I said, it was such an epic event. I can't wait to go back if you'd have me. It was amazing.
I of course, always welcome. Let's just throw that cut up there, just showing the room of the Young Women's Leadership Summit. That's one of the cuts there. And just the attendance and the energy was incredible. I was in and out. I wasn't able to spend all weekend there. But it's one of our favorite events. And then we have the People's Convention coming up this weekend with President Trump. And speaking of President Trump, so Alina, Trump's upcoming sentencing, do you think they'll throw him in jail?
I think they want to. I think that's their best ticket to try and steal or win the election. They don't have a candidate currently. You know, they have a puppet who has embarrassed our country, has led it to its demise in a very tragic way. And statistics and facts don't lie. People looking at their bank accounts don't lie. That speaks the loudest. So I think that what they have to do is jail their opponent. They, you know, have done things with ballots that we've seen, but this will be a new low for America. It already is, frankly. And I said when I opened up my show at the event for you, nobody should know who President Trump's lawyer is. That's not the world that we live in. And I was so honored that everybody did, but it tells you how tragic we are. So I think they'll try and put him in jail. I think that if the judge wants to appear measured, which by far he is not, let me be very clear, but if he wants to give the appearance of being measured, I think that he will maybe do a house arrest or something that will keep him off the campaign trail. That's what I think he will end up doing.
So I want to ask now, on Friday, there was a Friday news dump of potentially a juror that said that his cousin or her cousin was on the jury and they knew what was going to happen the day before. What can you help fill us in here, Alina?
Sure. The legal team did receive this letter. I have not said that publicly yet. So we did, in fact, receive this letter. It's true, from Judge Mershon. The letter indicated to us that there was a post that was eventually posted on the website from an individual saying that his cousin was on the jury and that prior to the verdict coming out, he knew from the cousin that they were going to find him guilty. And that's obviously incredibly troubling and also grounds for a mistrial, if true. There's obviously been questions about this individual. You know, we have a lot of people post a lot of things. Going back to the post, somebody said, it can't be true. Ms. Hava must be a rich kid. The math doesn't add up. I mean, I could spend all day going into fact-checking those individuals and how ridiculous they are. But this one, we have to take seriously. We have a president that's been convicted of a crime he should never have sat for in a blue state where we have if this is true, a compromised verdict and jury. So they are, they should have been sequestered. I said that all along. If a juror was out with the week off before Memorial Day talking to his family and mentioned that they had already found their determination as to President Trump's innocence and found him guilty, that's a serious violation. We take due process seriously in this country, or at least we used to. And we will fully litigate that if need be.
What is the path forward on appeal, do you think, for President Trump on this New York case?
We're looking at everything. Obviously, people have sent me numerous emails concerned. You know, there is a strategy to the legal team, and I can't speak to that. But the obvious is that this cannot stand. The trial itself was devoid of due process. There was a tremendous amount of issues. Our expert was not allowed in, and he was literally the head of the FEC, which was the alleged violation they claim, although we don't know to this day the underlying crime. There's just factual issues and legal issues that were wrongly decided, evidence that we couldn't bring in, witnesses we couldn't bring in. And those are all really strong grounds for a mistrial, especially the fact that we believe Judge Merchan had no business sitting on this case. He had a completely compromised position. He should have recused. So from the outset and the indictment, the way it stood, we believe really strongly we will overturn this conviction.
I sure hope so. Alina, great work. Thank you so much. And excellent job at the Young Women's Leadership Summit. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Did you know that 80% of adults take supplements to feel our best, right? Well, one thing your dog can't do without you is improve their diet or health to feel their best. That is why I believe Ruff Greens could dramatically help your best friend by adding what is missing to their diet like you do. Ruff Greens is helping thousands and thousands of dogs feel better and live longer, including my dog, Mr. Briggs, who loves it. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who created Ruff Greens, is also an airborne ranger and Green Beret, an amazing background. He loves dogs and is on a mission to help as many as he can. Dog food is dead, and Ruff Greens supplements your dog's food with existing vitamins and minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes, probiotics, and antioxidants. Dr. Black is offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. So fetch your free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover shipping. Don't change your dog's food. Just go to roughgreens.com/Kirk, RUFFgreens.com/Kirk. Oh, I'm wearing my Nebraska hat. Why would I be wearing my Nebraska hat? Because Donald Trump went to Nevada this last weekend, and his chances of doing well in Nevada is increasing. But as I have said before, Nevada doesn't get you a lot unless, I mean, potentially you could win like a Pennsylvania Nevada combo if you don't win Arizona. Very, very unlikely. We're going to have big news about Nebraska coming up this weekend at the People's Convention. So that is all the more reason to attend or watch. That is tpaction.com/peoples. Nevada is 10 times more useful if we get Nebraska done. I want you guys to prep Cut 24. This is CNN talking about how Nevada is looking good for Trump, but the math doesn't really work unless we get Nebraska to be winner take all. And there's news coming. I'll tell you, we're keeping our eyes on it. We're staying on it. We're a little bit of a rest period. Special session, winner take all. We know we're going to rev up just in time. Let's play Cut 24.
I'll be honest, at this point, it feels like Nevada's going to land in Trump's column. Why?
If Nevada lands in Trump's column, it's going to be because of the economy. I mean, frankly, Nevada is a place where you have a lot of working class service workers. They are very impacted by high prices. They have been hurt during the pandemic, and they are looking for improvements in the economy. And as we know, people are nostalgic about the Trump economy pre-pandemic. They think that they did better then, and they believe that he would be able to turn the economy around for them now.
First of all, I just love how CNN frames it. They think they did better then, as if the voters are all a bunch of morons. It is materially a fact that people did better under Donald Trump. I love how they frame it. Oh, they have some sort of like delusional nostalgia. No, no. When Trump was president, we were getting wealthier. When Trump was president, if you are in Gen Z, it used to require $71,000 a year just 4 years ago to buy a home. Now, $125,000 a year. That is a material fact. So if you were earning $71,000 a year under Trump, you could buy a home. The American dream is accessible to you. Now it's $120,000+, really $125,000 a year. It's even more in certain metropolitan areas. But she did say something interesting in that CNN contributor. She said that they're still upset about COVID. I have long contested that there is a pent-up COVID vote. And I think one of the reasons why RFK is hanging around 8 or 9% is a pent-up COVID anger vote. Not only were we lied to, we were extorted. We were blackmailed. We were threatened. People were kicked out of the military for not taking the mRNA gene-altering shot. By the way, day one, I think President Trump has said this before, but he should say it again, that he will reinstate any service member who wants to go back in the military who didn't take the vaccine. We need a Truth and Reconciliation Committee. We need to strip them of their immunity given by taxpayers. I believe there is, and it's just not about the vaccine thing, but I think people feel so wronged about not just COVID, but the decisions that have come after COVID, the decisions that came post-COVID of flooding the system with cheap money that we don't have. President Trump did another show of force yesterday in Vegas, drawing massive, massive crowds. Let's go to cut 29.
I did talk with some hotel workers yesterday, some service workers here in Las Vegas, about how that is playing with them. And Anne-Marie, about six people told me that would change their vote. That is enough to make them switch from voting Democrat to Republican if Donald Trump is promising something like that to them.
That's huge. So what is President Trump talking about? President Trump has made a pledge, if president, to make all tips tax-free. Hey, I'm all about cutting taxes, especially for working people. I think it's excellent. For people that are waiters, waitresses, Vegas is built on the service industry. This is so smart by Donald Trump. It's politically smart. It's also great policy. How do you break the back of the culinary union? You make the culinary union work for you. Just so you understand, the culinary union basically runs Clark County. They run Vegas. It's the machine that Harry Reid built. That's why they renamed the airport Harry Reid. He, by the way, you want to talk about one of the most craven, evil, sick, twisted political leaders the last 30 years, Harry Reid is right there. He's up there with Pelosi. He's up there with Barack Hussein Obama. He's up there with Joe Biden. Sick man. He lies and he's, remember that whole Mitt Romney thing? Well, it worked, didn't it? Lying about Mitt Romney's tax returns. Sick dude. Harry Reid built the culinary union. So Donald Trump is saying, we're not going to tax your tips. A tax cut for the muscular class will have a positive chain reaction. Their families will vote Trump. You're talking about the waiters, the waitresses, the people in the service industry in Vegas. All right, I need to tell you guys about Strong Cell. It's amazing. With nearly a million units bought by you, it is more clear than ever that Strong Cell works. It works to combat fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, skin issues, and constant sickness. I've been taking it personally for over a year now, and it's changed my life. I take it in the morning with breakfast, and it helps me with natural energy so I don't have that afternoon crash. And it gives me the clarity of mind to do all that I do every day, which is a lot. If you're tired of feeling tired, struggling with memory, or constantly getting sick, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I love this product because it has NAD. By the way, fact check me on this. Go do your own research on NADH, especially if it's mixed with CoQ10 and marine collagen. Strong Cell uses a proprietary delivery of NADH to make sure it goes straight to your cells to help your mitochondria. And since there are cells in every area of your body, then healthier cells equals a healthier you. The amount of people that use Strong Cell now, thanks to us, is remarkable. Over 1 million units sold. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Check it out. Fact check me. Oh, Charlie's just selling me a product. Okay, maybe you don't want more mental acuity. People say, Charlie, how do you do what you do? Maybe it's the NAD that I take. It's changed the lives of many Kirk listeners. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie and use my discount code Charlie to get 20% off your order. This is an emerging body of work and science that is showing that NAD and NADH really might be what your body needs in this contaminated, polluted, and poisoned world. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use special discount code Charlie at checkout to get a special 20% off just for Kirk listeners. strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out right now. Joining us now is Raheem Kassam. Raheem, welcome to the program. The National Pulse. The National Pulse does a great job. Raheem, break down the significance of what happened in Europe this last weekend.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for having me, as always. Yeah, really interesting. Last night, today is one of the few times I get to flex my very, very arcane knowledge of the European Parliament and how it operates, what it all means, and what it all showed us sort of over the last 72 hours as returns have started to come in from all across Europe, is that the major losers of the night were the progressive left, the climate change left, the Gaza left, the Ukraine left, you name it, the woke left, all suffered massively at the ballot box across Europe last night. But there were no real sort of major, major gains outside France and maybe Germany, you could say, and the rest of the continent really consolidating around the quote-unquote center-right parties of European Union member nation states. Now, that's the sort of 60,000 foot level way of looking at it. You obviously had major flashpoints with Emmanuel Macron hastily dissolving his own national parliament to call elections for later this month. You obviously had the resignation of the Belgian prime minister, but I'm not sure, you know, that's as big a deal as it's being made out to be, Belgium being a fake country after all. But the Economist, I think, surprisingly, had one of the best takes on it. It's not a lurch to the right for Europe, but it is inching to the right. And there are lots of things, lots of positives to take away and lots of things for the European right to build on as a result of what's happened here.
So let's focus on France in particular. What is driving this? It seems like the trend is very positive. This is Marine Le Pen's party. She has been she's been smeared by the entire Western media. Let's focus on France in particular. They got first place with 32% of the vote. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Marine Le Pen for some time now has possibly looked like the patron saint of lost causes in France, running often in the presidential elections, in the domestic legislative elections. Her party, Rassemblement National, which underwent a major branding change just a few years ago from its heritage as Front National, which has its kind of roots in Vichy France, if you pay strict attention to its detractors. But, you know, the big thing that has really kind of kept pushing them and kept pushing them to a point where they are actually really popular amongst young people now, too, across France, is, of course, the big issue all across the Western world right now. And that is immigration. It's migration. It's assimilation. It's integration. It's ghettoization. All of the things that come along with the mass migration that Europe has seen now, really since that big kickoff in 2015, have chipped away and chipped away at the center-left's monopoly over that issue. She has done a remarkable job of turning around a party that had misfortune upon misfortune to being a party that could take a lot of seats, if not a majority of seats, in domestic legislative elections at the end of this month. But we have to consider why Emmanuel Macron took the decision he took yesterday to dissolve the parliament. And I think it's actually a pretty smart move by him. It's been a pretty dysfunctional majority coalition that he's had to govern with. So he's not really losing anything. And he's calculating that actually the Rassemblement National, Marine Le Pen's party, have expended all of their resources, all of their money in recent weeks running in this European parliamentary campaign, that they won't now be able to pivot to the domestic elections and fight as strongly there. So I think it's a defensive tactic, but I think it may well pay off for him.
So let's connect this more broadly. We have the Netherlands government, the Dutch government with Geert Wilders. At least he was able to form some form of power. And I will say, look, in Austria, the right-wing Freedom Party got first place. In Belgium, a right-wing party, a conservative Flemish Nationalist Party, combined for 26% of the vote. So the Europe has gone far. They've lost their center for quite some time. Do you believe that this is going to be predictive of what we're going to see in the States here in November?
Well, so here's the problem with the way the European Parliament works is all of those things that you just said are true, but they functionally amount to just a handful of extra seats in the European Parliament. And it really is just basically 2 or 3% of a shift in the European Parliament. That's 700 and something members of the European Parliament, by the way, which will end up having a centrist globalist commissioner, and it will end up with the quote-unquote centre-right party, which is really a globalist party, the EPP, doing a coalition deal with the left liberals and the socialists in order to keep what they call the populist left and populist right away from power. So yes, there have been incremental gains, but functionally very little will change at the EU level. In terms of what you're talking about, I think it will have a knock-on effect to Britain's elections on July 4th, which then in turn will have a knock-on effect to the American elections. So it's not quite a 2016, you know, a double hitter. It's actually more of a snowball effect that we're seeing here. But yes, I think especially given that your topics are immigration and the economy, it bodes quite well for President Trump.
Let me ask you, Raheem, it was this amazing couple days for President Trump that I want to recap. President Trump does his town hall with us in Phoenix, goes up and raises a bucket of money in Silicon Valley, does the same down in Newport Beach, goes to Vegas and has this massive show of force. And then CBS comes out with a poll that shows that 62% of Americans, 62% support mass deportations. 62%. Biden is running ads attacking Trump for supporting mass deportations. So it turns out that Joe Biden is running ads supporting one of Donald Trump's most popular policy positions. Raheem, you've been on the populist nationalist forefront for quite a while. Take us back 5 years ago. Take us back 7 years ago when Trump was president, when Donald Trump tried to do the Muslim ban and the world fell apart. How has the body politic changed when it comes to deportation and mass migration? Raheem Kassam.
Yeah, and by the way, 71% of people in the CBS YouGov poll say that the conviction will not affect the way that they choose to vote. 84% in total of Americans say that they'll either be worse off or the same, which is still worse off than 4 years ago if Biden has a second term. I mean, these are devastating numbers for the Biden-Harris campaign this weekend. And you know, what you're talking about is a fundamental disconnect, because 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the kind of scaremongering about these kind of, you know, far right policies may have worked because people tend to be a little bit more liberal. They tend to be small L liberal, a little bit more forgiving and very generous in spirit, by the way, when it comes to migration historically. The problem is the centrists and the globalists. You take Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson in England. You take all of these centrist parties across Europe. And of course, you take the center globalist coalition in the United States, the governing coalition in the United States across your multiple arms of government. They've all been promising, right? We'll get a handle on immigration. We'll get a handle on immigration. We will bring numbers down. And the public now are just saying, you know what? You've said this now, and numbers are at an all-time high. A million visas into the UK last month, massive amounts of migration still coming into Europe, huge amounts of illegal immigration pouring over the southern border of the United States, major, major influxes of Chinese people coming in, you know, all these sorts of strange perturbations, and the numbers aren't going down, the crossings aren't slowing. So people's hearts and heads are hardening. They're saying, we are done with this. We tried to play the nice guy here. We tried to believe you. We wanted to believe you that you would get a handle on these things. Now we believe, especially with, you know, every state now is a border state, Charlie. These people have to go. They must go back.
They go back to the country of origin. We'll do it correctly. We'll do it with precision. We'll do it even humanely. But you're going back to your country of origin. Let's play cut 28.
Have you always been a Republican?
No, I was the opposite, Democrat.
Ralph preferred to keep his last name a secret.
Last time I voted for Biden, I regret because he changed everything.
So you voted for Biden, but you wish you hadn't?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because he's failing in a lot of things. He's bringing people from all the countries around the world.
Raheem, I don't know if you can understand that. It is a guy that speaks broken English, regrets voting for Biden, and including the border and those issues.
Look, everybody that has done things the right way, whether they are, you know, native born Americans, who have raised families and worked hard and paid their taxes and done everything the right way, even to the migrants, you know, legal migrants who applied, who've paid their money, who've waited in line, who've contributed to the economy, start to look at recent data. And the data shows that most of Joe Biden's jobs that have been created under this regime have gone to illegal immigrants. These are not jobs for American workers. These are not jobs for neither the native nor the legal migrant. This is the rewarding of illegality, the rewarding of criminality. And people like that, rightly, are sick of it.
Plug the National Pulse, how people can support you. I'm becoming a monthly whatever thing. I told the team to take care of it. Other people should too. How do they do that?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. thenationalpulse.com/upgrade to support our work. 100% people funded. And, you know, we're going to be going to London. We're going to be going to Paris to cover those elections as they come up. So thenationalpulse.com to support that.
Raheem, President Trump is running a very unusual campaign as far as the textbook. He is not afraid to go on long-form podcasting. He's not afraid to go in front of contentious media. He is not afraid to go into the lion's den. You have now seen the 2016 Trump, 2020 Trump, 2024 Trump. This is much more like the 2016 energy than 2020, which felt overly scripted and overly safe. Your thoughts, Raheem Kassam?
Yes, that's true. I think President Trump himself specifically is channeling more of that 2016 energy. I think, you know, despite him having to be there for bad reasons in New York for the trial, I think he actually fed off that energy as well, being back in his home state, being back somewhere where he has great memories of taking the fight to Hillary Clinton and whooping her pretty solidly. And I think he's constantly kind of having to battle and counterbalance a lot of the consultant class, a lot of the advisors who are inclined, I mean, naturally inclined. That's what political advisors do, naturally inclined to be a little bit more by the book, to play a little bit more safe, and to focus on things like, you know, fundraising numbers and press releases about that, rather than actually, you know, big set piece, interactive, exciting moments, like rolling up to the UFC fight, like announcing yesterday the big policy about tipped workers' wages and pulling them out of taxation. That's the sort of thing that people respond to. That's the sort of thing people react to. And, you know, I think President Trump himself, look, I'm convinced at this point he's got to have cloned himself two or three times, because the amount of things he's doing, the number of places he's going, and I've started to see the left pick up on the left's panic about this, because you have these guys at the Midas Touch website, and Ron Filipowski and these guys constantly every day tweeting falsehoods. They say something like Friday, golf, Saturday, golf, Sunday, golf, Monday, golf. That's President Trump's schedule for the week. And it couldn't be further from the truth, actually. It's like Friday, rally, Saturday, fundraiser, Sunday, interviews, Monday, you know, and it's constant. It's back to back. And he's really, by the way, putting us younger folks to shame with the amounts of energy he has and the amounts of commitment to this that he has. And it's so respectable. It's so laudable, because at the end of the day, Charlie, you and I both know that he could very easily ride off into the sunset. He could very easily cut some kind of deal with the establishment to leave the MAGA movement on its own, and have all of these things taken away that are so oppressive and so tyrannical and so totalitarian against him. And he refuses. Time and time again, he refuses. And in the face of adversity, and this is a lesson to all of us, he doesn't shirk and he doesn't cower. If anything, he doubles down.
Finally, thank you, sure. Riley and Ryan. I got this. I've been asking for this for 2 hours, and they found it, to their great credit. Play cut 52.
You know, we have a choice to make in November, and it isn't a choice that I was crazy about. I actually was very public that I thought that President Biden should not run for re-election, but he did, and it's him and Trump, and that's where I am, and I'm 1,000% behind President Biden. It's the choice I got.
30 seconds, Raheem. That's James Carville, who's actually smarter than the caricature people think. He's not dumb. saying Joe Biden shouldn't have run for re-election.
He's not dumb. I've met him. I've spoken to him in person. He's probably right. But at the same time, what else you got? You know, and I think it was probably too little too late for the Democrats to really pull anybody else out that they could trust, that they could rely on, that they could show some kind of governing, point to some kind of governing to the progressive left's diktats. Joe Biden has done that. He will hold that kind of far left coalition together, but it's probably, I hope, it's not going to be enough to get him over the line in November.
Raheem Kassam, excellent work. Check out the National Pulse. Become a member like I am. Team will get that done today. Thanks so much, Raheem.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.